Each time I try to remind you that salvation is not a process. In this description that Eric gave of the tabernacle, I want you, where did an Old Testament sinner get saved? Anybody figure that out? When they got all the way up to the presence of God, is that when they were finally saved? Who knows when a person got saved under the Old Testament? Somebody raise your hand. Somebody, Alice. At the altar of sacrifice, they had to have a lamb. And when the lamb took the punishment, took death, the person that was guilty went away free. All right? So as a substitute, from that moment on, they could approach God. So salvation is not a process. It is a person. It is Jesus Christ taking your place and you saying, thank you. So there's usually a process leading up to getting somebody to come to Christ. I call that a spiritual awakening or a spiritual awareness. They're not saved, but they are more aware of spiritual things. And then there's a lot of growth. How many are you growing spiritually? How many of you want to grow spiritually? All right. Hey, you have not arrived. Okay. Just as Eric was saying, you're in your Christian life, you're moving around inside the tabernacle and you're constantly reaching over and finding out your fingernails are dirty or your feet are dirty or whatever. And you're constantly cleaning up the little messes that you're making. You're already saved, but you're growing and you're trying to learn how to walk in the Spirit and live out what is true in the Bible. That's after we get saved. But the new birth is instant. But I want to blow your mind that the new birth is not just one thing that happened to you. There are so many different things. That's why I don't believe in evolution. I'll tell you why. Because the birth of a baby is the culmination. You understand? That's a big word. It means the result. Thank you. It is a result of so many impossible things coming together, working together, and producing a life. And evolution teaches that it all is an accident. And that's the furthest thing from the truth. Our salvation, the moment we got saved, it's not just a tick mark on a box. It is literally, I'm sure there's 100 things, I only know of about 40 some odd, 100 things that all happen simultaneously that are a miracle. So, what all happens the moment, not even the tick from 0 to 1 second, what happens the moment of salvation? We're going to start right where we left off last time, and that is an M, and that is we have been baptized into the Spirit, I'm sorry, by the Spirit into Christ's body. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, and we'll start reading 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. These are Bible terms, Bible phrases here. Baptized by the Spirit into Christ's body. Brother Dan, would you read 5:17 in 2 Corinthians?
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is new creation. All things are passed away.
Most people, in their mindset, they think if any man be in church, that's all you got to be, is just be in church, right? Just be in the church. Be in the church. The Bible says, be in Christ. All right? So, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 now. When we talk about Christ's body, I'm going to try to... we're only going to deal with this one subject and we'll be through. But in talking about it, I think people are going to just... unless you pay attention, you're going to lose the plot here. We want little bite-sized tidbits of information. This is a big one. This is one of the things that is so abused and so misused and so misunderstood. Let's see if we can just be straightforward and get some help here tonight. 1 Corinthians 12:13. And Kathy, if you'll read that. Into one Spirit. Excellent. All right, so by one Spirit, is it a little S, like an attitude, or by one Spirit, big S, which talks about by the Holy Spirit, Some of us have been baptized into the body. Is that what it says? No. We. Was Paul a member of the church at Corinth? No. So we're not talking about a single church. We're not talking about a denomination. We're talking about believers here. We have been baptized into how many bodies? One body. We want to learn what that body is. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, Nita. Romans 6 and verse 4. Okay, so he compares baptism, buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead. Now look at verse 3. Okay, so Nita, do you remember getting baptized? Yeah, I remember her getting baptized. And that was when you got put underwater, right? Okay, now, was that the same as this verse? Look at the words. Verse 3, very good. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into water. Is that what it says? All right, what does baptism, the word baptism, mean? Somebody raise your hand. Gina. I like how she says, fully immersed. If you ever have a biscuit and tea, you're never really baptizing it until your fingers are under the hot tea. Yet, that biscuit's got to go all the way under to be baptized. We call it immersion. So, we're talking about being placed into Jesus Christ. This is why I cannot ever believe that I can lose my salvation. Because if there's a part of me out of Him, then yeah. But if I'm in Him, can He be lost? No. Therefore, I cannot be lost. This is so fundamental. I am in the safest place possible. Galatians 3:27, Andrew. Galatians now, to the right. Galatians 3:27. I love that sign. All right, Galatians 3:27.
For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, put on Christ.
Wow. So we see it several times, and I'm not quoting all of them. These are several times where the Bible mentions being put into Jesus Christ. You say, how can you say that that's the safest place to be? Question, where is Jesus right now? Where is He? He's at the right hand of the Father. He's already in heaven. And if I'm in Him, where am I? Practically speaking, positionally speaking. Not physically. Physically, I'm stuck here. But as far as God's concerned, I'm already there. Because I'm in Him. Is that not cool? All right. So, what is the body of Christ? This thing called the body of Christ. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. To the left, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Jennifer, you'll read now 12 and 13. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 and 13. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 and 13. Hold. So how many bodies do I have, Jennifer? Thank you. I know you're snickering, but it's an obvious question we've got to ask ourselves. He says, since the body is one, and yet, how many members do I have of my body? Many. I don't know how many. I got toes and warts and noses and chins and, you know, ears. And there's kneecaps. And I mean, there's lots of parts to me. Okay? So, and all the members of that one body being many, I've got many parts to me. But how many bodies are there? One. Good. So also is Christ. There's a lot of members, a lot of believers, but there's still just one body. Next verse, 13. All right, so really simply, the body of Christ is the entire group of believers since the cross. Ever since that thief on the cross, who died first? The thief on the cross or Jesus? Jesus did. So the thief got to become one of the first members of the body of Christ. So since the cross, all the way up until 2013, right here, all believers have been put in Jesus Christ. That is cool. All right? Now, the body of Christ is not one individual church. Can you imagine if one church, and I know plenty of them, but can you imagine the audacity of one church saying, we're the only church. So everybody has to join us, or else they're not saved. Can you imagine that? Nope. It's not an individual church. It's not even a denomination. They used to say years ago, there was no salvation outside of the Catholic Church. Have you ever heard that? Let me tell you, there's no salvation outside of Christ. A church is not the saving mechanism. So, did you know there are believers, and I call them stranded believers, in the Catholic Church who just haven't come out of it yet? They haven't. It's kind of like a ship stuck on a sandbar. They haven't been able to get free of that. Jesus, the Bible does say, come out from among them. He's talking to believers. That, you know, sometimes you got to look around and you go, you know what, I don't belong here. I need to be in a Bible-believing church. You can be saved and be in the Catholic Church. Amen. There are believers who are involved in not-so-great churches. I mean, they're out there and they're just, but that doesn't mean they're not saved. That doesn't mean they're not part of the body of Christ. The body of Christ includes how many believers? All believers. Every born-again believer is part of one body. Go to Ephesians. Oh, hold on here. Go. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. Eric, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. Okay, now, I know plenty of people who think that that baptism is water baptism. Tell me something, which is more important, to get in the water or to get into Christ? Thank you. Thank you very much. There is one important, all-consuming baptism every person must have. I know some people who have, and I'm crossing some lines, I'm stepping on some toes. Don't get mad at me, get mad at the Bible. There are some people who want to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. They want to be baptized with fire. They want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and all these things. Let me tell you, you better get baptized into Christ. The most important thing, the one baptism that is most important above all, is get in Christ. There is one baptism and there's one Lord and how many bodies, by the way? One body. That's right. One. Ephesians chapter 1, and verse 22 and 23, Allison. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. All right, does he talk about the churches? No. So when it talks about the church, most of the time it's talking about something other than us. It's talking about all believers. Is Jesus the head of all believers? He sure is. And look at Matthew 16, 18 now. Matthew 16 and verse 18. Leo, if you would read Matthew 16, 18. All All right, somebody over in Rome thinks he's talking about what kind of church? The Catholic Church. Okay. You got some people over in Salt Lake City, Nevada, who think it's the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. There are some people who think it's only this church, only that church. His church. Folks, it's not our church. We're in His church, aren't we? So, we're talking about Jesus said, I will build my church. And He uses the term body. And I like that. It helps me. Because how many of you kids here in school get all of the kids together and you and what they call it is the student body. You ever heard that phrase? And it means the group of people that belong to that school, right? That's the student body. I'm not part of the student body. They represent that school. How many of you ever heard of a sports governing body? That's a group of people who try to regulate and oversee, you know, some sport. There's also something called the body politic. That's people who are really, they're involved in politics. And each one is a distinct group from the rest of us. And Christianity is supposed to be distinctly different than the rest of the world. Just as Jesus had a living, breathing, walking, talking body 2,000 years ago, He has one today. It's just not located in one person. It actually is in all believers. So He uses all of us where we are the entire group of believers since the cross making up His body. Let me see if I've got it. Ephesians 5:23. Pat, Ephesians 5:23. And Pat, before you read that, who's in charge of the church? Who's in charge? Yes, ma'am. He's the head. Ephesians 5:23, please. So, Jesus Christ is the head, and we're His arms, His eyes, His mouth, His ears, His hands, His feet. That's what we are now. You and I working together as one body, isn't unity important? Jesus was never epileptic. Jesus was never schizophrenic. Neither should Christians be. Christians unified represent what Jesus Christ is like. We just represent it on a worldwide scale. So that's the body of Christ. Now that brings up an interesting thing, continuing on this thought. Well, what is a local church? What is this body? A local church, which is a local assembly of believers, is a visible example of what the body of Christ is like on a small scale. What do I mean? That's a church. They can meet anywhere. But a church is a group or an assembly of believers where you are. Right? Now you can't, you're not a part of a church over in Siberia or down in South Africa. You're part of this church. So, a local church assembles as often as it can. When are we getting together again, by the way? Wednesday. And when do we get to do it again? Thursday. And when do we do it again? Sunday. That's the church assembling as often as it can. Did you know a church can start off with two or three? Right, Eileen? Amen. Or it can have up to 18,000 in the Bible. The church at Jerusalem had over 18,000 and they called it one church. Wow, I wouldn't want to deal with that. Shoot them all. A church can have unsaved in it. That's a freaky thought. I mean, Jesus, He had the first church. There were 12 people there. And one of them was the devil. You know, local churches can be filled with unsaved people. Do you know, you have to be water baptized in order to join. A local New Testament church. Amen. You just can't walk in and say, I like this place. I'm a member. No. You got to understand, first you got to get saved, and then you got to get baptized, getting rid of all your old birth religion, and have a whole new walk with Jesus Christ. But did you know one of the most devastating truths of churches, they can disappear. People not get excited, people not give, people not sacrifice, and it closes down. Do you know there are churches all over England right now that are discos and pubs, libraries, coffee shops, because the churches die. Local churches stop existing. What about the body? What about the church? Well, with Christ as the head, I think it'll survive. Amen? That church hasn't assembled yet. When are we going to assemble as that church? Anybody know? Wednesday? Do you know what? I'm going to pray. That's true. You're all right. When is the one church, the one body, all believers going to assemble together as a church? When are we going to get to do that? At the rapture. Amen. All of a sudden, we're going to join with the rest of them, and they're going to say, now we can start. It could be. That's why I said, I'm going to pray. It hasn't assembled yet. Did you know the body of Christ only has saved people in it? Amen. You don't have to be water baptized to get into that. The thief on the cross got in without being baptized. You just have to take a good long drink. Did anybody notice that verse there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13? For by one Spirit, 12:13, are we all baptized into one body, whether it be Jews or Gentiles, whether it be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Go to John. John chapter 7. Brother Dennis, would you read in chapter 7, John chapter 7, you'll be reading 37, 38, and 39. Yes, sir. John 7, 37, 38, 39. All right. In order to get in there, you don't have to be baptized into water. You don't have to join a church. In order to get into His church, all you have to do is take a good drink, spiritual drink. Revelation chapter 22 says, the Spirit and the Bride say, come, come ye to the, and take of the water of life freely. It's just by faith. And what's great about this church? It's going to last until the rapture. Gates of hell are not going to prevail against it. Nothing's going to prevail against His church. All right? So, still going on with this thought, because I want to clear up maybe some confusion. How do people join up with a local church? The first thing that's most important is you've got to have the new birth. That's why I always sit down and I ask you, tell me about how you got saved. And if somebody can't tell me they got saved, guess what I decide? They ain't saved. Because you ought to have a testimony. If I said to Scott, tell me how you met your wife. Tell me how'd the wedding go? And he goes, well, I kind of don't remember. And if Kim's sitting next to him, he's going to be knocked cold. And if you kind of just, I just go, listen, let's start back. You need to be born again. If you're going to join up with a local church, you need to be saved. Then you need to be scripturally baptized. Then you need to understand the commitment that's involved. You know, being a part of a church family is serious. You know, just because you want to be here doesn't mean you're going to stay here. I see people all the time get offended and walk straight on out. Members don't do that. So how do you join up in the local church? You got to understand the commitment. You got to ask, can I please? And then you got to be accepted. Go to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verse 22. For time, I'll read it. Acts chapter 9 and verse 22. Paul, Saul of Tarsus at that day, had just gotten saved. If you know the Damascus Road experience, is in chapter 9. And chapter 9, verse 22, he's saved. In verse 20, he's preaching Christ in the synagogues. Verse 21 says, all that heard him were amazed and said, wait a minute. Isn't this not he that destroyed them, which called on this name in Jerusalem and came thither for that intent, that he might bring them bound into the chief priests? So people are like questioning, can this be the same guy? But Paul increased them more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that, many days were fulfilled. The Jews took counsel to kill him. Boy, I mean, wow, when he got saved, everybody he used to know as a friend has now become his enemy or trying to kill him. Verse 24. But their laying await was known of Saul. And they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and they let him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, what do you think he's going to want to do? He's come to Jerusalem. He's going to meet Peter. He's going to meet James. He's going to meet John. He's going to meet Matthew. Woo-hoo! He assayed. Now, assayed means attempted. He attempted to join himself to the disciples there. He didn't want to be an apostle. He just wanted to be with those Christians. And he attempted to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him. And they believed not that he was a disciple. Wouldn't you be scared? I mean, you go, hide the kids, honey. But Barnabas, thank God for Barnabas's. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how Saul had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to Saul and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out of Jerusalem, and Saul spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and had disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to kill him. Which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea. And later on, he does get the right hand of fellowship. But at first, Brother Dan, when he tried to join the church, how did they react? They bolted the door. So just because you claim to be saved doesn't mean you're automatically a member of a church. You've got to ask, and then you've got to be accepted. The church does need to be able to say, this is our requirement. Another church may have their own list of requirements. Fine, I'm going to have a biblical list, and those requirements are you must have a good testimony of salvation if you want to be a member of the church. Anybody can attend. But you must be born again. You must be scripturally baptized. Well, I was sprinkled when I was 3 weeks old. Doesn't count, doesn't work at all. First of all, that's not real baptism. And being baptized has to be after salvation. And it's got to be done where you're completely, totally immersed. Then after that, you've got to understand what you're getting into, who you're getting involved with. And then you've got to ask and be accepted. That's a lot of work. Did you have to do that to become a Christian? Yes or no? No. You see, Jesus Christ takes us as we are and He changes us. Amen. But we start, and all we have to do is ask. And you know what? All that come to Him, He will in no wise cast out. But you start to come in, and you want to attend church, we're a little more cautious. You know why? Because we don't know your heart. We don't know, hey folks, there are a lot of wicked people out there who'd love to come in showing themselves to be one kind of person, and then we find out they're not. How did any of us get into Christ? Well, it wasn't by our own good works. It wasn't by any physical, religious, traditional work that we did, any baptism. But we were simply baptized into the body of Christ by who? Somebody remind me. By the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Spirit. And we were put into Jesus Christ. You know, when did that happen? When did it happen? You know when? The moment you were born again. You didn't realize it, but God took a sinner and He put Jesus Christ in him. And then He took that sinner and He put him into Jesus Christ. It's one of those infinity loops. It's a perfect completion. He didn't do all the work and then stay in heaven. He actually says, I'll make my and my Father's abode in you. We learn that we have the Holy Spirit and He's actually come into our heart. And when He came into our life, He actually sealed Himself in, didn't He? This is what God did for us. You know why He did all of this work? Can I be real plain? So that we can't lose it. He did everything so that even when our worst days, we can't blow it. And it all happened the moment we were saved. 1 second after my salvation, I could not lose it. 33 years after my salvation, I still can't lose it. Because something happened the very moment I was born again. How can God be that fast? Because He's good. Amen? He's just that good. So, a test. You ready? Nearly finished. What is the body of Christ? Somebody raise your hand. What is the body of Christ? Nita. All the way back to the thief on the cross. Amen. That is the body of Christ. That's who He is now. Through us. Okay? That is the body of Christ. What is a local church? Somebody define that for me. Raise your hand. Come on. Marlene. Okay, good. Where you physically go to, all right, and you attend. Bible says, Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together at a local church. Can you assemble with people in Florida? No. Can you assemble with people in London? No. Can you assemble with people in Dublin? No. Can you assemble with people in Ballincollig? That's your local church. This is a small example of what the body of Christ is like. Where we're in unity. Where we work together. How do people get into a local church? I gave you five things. Remember one of them. Somebody raise your hand. Dan. Get saved. That's the first thing. It'd be possible for somebody to talk their way into becoming a member of a church and still be unsaved. But it ought to be very hard. So you got to get saved. What's another thing? Jennifer. Get scripturally baptized. Who else? Kevin, did you have your hand up? You better be able to give your testimony how you got saved. Yes. Somebody else? You're going to have to be accepted. All right? And most of the time, Christians are going to say, praise God, welcome. All right? But a church has to have the ability, just like Ireland does when people come into Ireland, they need to be able to say, no, you've got a criminal record, or we don't trust you, or whatever. And a church has that right to say no. So you got to be accepted. One other thing that's before you get accepted, what is it? You need to ask. I've got people, there are people in our church meetings on Sunday morning, and then there, and you know what they think? They're members, and they're not. You know why? Because they haven't asked. Amen. Four. How did any of us get into the body of Christ? Let's see. Barry, how did we get into the body of Christ? Barry. Yes, it happened when we were spiritually baptized by the Holy Spirit, taking us and putting us into Christ. Dennis, you're exactly right, but I was trying to peg Barry. So now let's see. When did that happen? At the moment, instantly, at the moment we were saved. Is that very complicated? I know you want to say yes, but really, I hope you learned some things. helped you a few things there. Because all of these things, you notice, all of these things help you understand salvation. It helps you go back to the moment you got saved, and all of a sudden it has more color, more richness. It's like, wow, I just want to sing about being saved. Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. You sing that because you realize, I now know what it means when I got saved. Amen? Amen. Anybody got a question? Mary. Yes, sir. I didn't hear your question. Concerning 6:5, you want to know what? All right. Let's go back to verse. His question is, in Romans chapter 6, verse 1, he wants to know in verse 5, he wants to know what does it mean to be planted together in the likeness of his death. Okay. Romans 6, 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, continue to live in sin, that grace may abound? God always gives us grace to counteract our sin. Well, so should we live in sin then? God forbid. How shall we that are, and he uses a term, dead to sin. Now, one of the things that happened when you got saved is a part of you died towards God. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So, verse 2, are we already dead to sin? Barry. Okay, that's going to help you when we get to verse 5. Verse 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ when we were saved, we were actually baptized not just into a living Savior, but we actually went through the cross. We were baptized into His death. Therefore, we are not only baptized into His death, we're actually buried with Him by baptism into His death. That like as also third, as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. I not only trust a living Savior, I was put through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. All that Christ went through, I went through in Him. I experienced by faith what He did on the cross, what He did when He went to the grave, and what He did when He rose again. Verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death. When was that happen? That happened by faith when I trusted the cross. You see, what did Paul love to preach the most about? Barry. The cross. Because he tried to get people to identify and put themselves on that cross when Christ died. Question. Here was a young man named Phineas, Barry, that had a stick, and on the top was a brass serpent, a brazen serpent. And he ran through the crowds of people. 24,000 of them died that day, being bit by snakes. And he ran through the crowd and he said, look and live. And that brass serpent was in the place of each individual. And every individual, simply by faith, looked and said, let that be in my place. I identify with the death of that snake so that I can be forgiven. And when we identify with Christ as our substitute, we walk away. I have in His death, being when I was firmly put into Christ by faith, so that when He died, I died. When He rose again, I rose again. Okay? So when he says, if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be also in the likeness of his resurrection. And then he runs all the way. He says, you know, in the power of his resurrection, he got a brand new body. I haven't gotten my brand new body yet. So guess what I believe? I'm going to get a brand new body. So he's talking not only now, but he's saying, if you've been planted in the likeness of his death and you've gone through the cross to get saved, you're going to experience the resurrection one of these days when the Lord resurrects you or raptures you. Does that make sense? Yes. And so we went down with him in the tomb in death by identifying with him. All right? All right? What does Paul say in Galatians 2:20? I am crucified with Christ. Christ didn't just die for me. when I got saved, I actually was placed into Him, and I don't understand it. Don't ask me to explain it. But God ran me all the way back and put me through the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I get to experience the benefits of it now. Sorry? Okay, if you're looking at the planted together, meaning planted, we were in Him when He died on the cross, and we were nailed, we were crucified, and we were planted with Him when He died, and we resurrected when He resurrected, using the same term. Okay, Tony. Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, if you want to. Some of the things don't mention time. So go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. His question is, when did that quickening, that resurrection occur? And it's just kind of simple things. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 says, "And you hath He quickened." He's talking to Christians. You've already been quickened, which means what? Who knows? Made alive, resurrected. "And you have been quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." So that was the moment you were born again. All right? But I'm resurrected because of His resurrection. My spirit is regenerated because He resurrected from the dead. If Jesus had only died, could I have gotten saved? He had to be resurrected. Right. Yes, in His resurrection. That's right. That's right. Any other type of question? This is good. This is good. The normal Joe Soap doesn't want to be bothered with these issues. But these are the things that make you want to shout. No other questions? I know you all want to go home. Marlene. You don't go through me, girl. You're just sometimes your heart doubts and things. I've watched you. You've got. Can I use the terms? You've got childlike faith. You believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. You have no airs about you, about trying to perform or to do. You just trusted Christ. I'm going to tell you, on the authority of the Word of God, not on the authority of me. You just did it God's way. And that makes it so that God says, "She belongs to me." Okay. So yeah. No, don't go through me. I couldn't get you through a car wash, much less through heaven. Okay. Let's all stand and let's bow in prayer.